Our first reading comes from Acts chapter 2. Listen to these words. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And when they heard this sound, a crowd gathered, and they were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native languages? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty work of God in our own languages." And they were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" And others jeered, saying, "They are full of new wine." And Peter stood with the other 11, and he raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this, listen carefully to my words. These people are not drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens below and above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great spectacular day of the Lord comes, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Then from Ezekiel 37, we have these words. "The Lord's power overcame me, and while I was in the Lord's spirit, he led me out, and he set me down in the middle of a certain valley, and it was full of bones. He led me through them all around, and I saw that there were a great many of them on the valley floor, and they were very dry. And he asked me, 'Human one, can these bones live again?' And I said, 'Lord God, only you know.' And he said to me, 'Prophesy. Prophesy over these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the Lord's word. The Lord God proclaims to these bones, I am about to put breath in you, and you will live again. I will put sinews on you, place flesh on you, and cover you with skin. And when I put breath in you and you come to life, you will know that I am the Lord.' And I prophesied just as I was commanded, and there was a great noise as I was prophesying. Then a great quaking, and the bones came together, bone by bone. And when I looked, suddenly there were sinews on them. The flesh appeared, and then they were covered over with skin. But there was still no breath. And he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, human one. Say to the breath, the Lord God proclaims, come from the four winds, breath. Breathe into these dead bodies and let them live.' And I prophesied just as he commanded me. And when the breath entered them, they came to life and stood on their feet, an extraordinarily large company. And he said to me, human one, these bones are the entire house of Israel. And they say our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are finished. So now prophesy and say to them, the Lord God proclaims, I am opening your graves. I will raise you up from your graves, my people. I will bring you to Israel's fertile land. You will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and I raise you up from your graves, my people. I will put my breath in you and you will live. I will plant you on your fertile land and you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is what the Lord says. The word of the Lord. It's Pentecost. We've made it through Easter. Things look a little different, but don't worry. Don't worry. It won't last long. We will be back in ordinary time soon. Just one more Sunday of strangeness and then back to ordinary. And what a shame. What a shame that we often only give Pentecost one day to really shine. One day to really bring out the bells and the banners, and even then, we'll give it a song to bring them in and get them out quick. They're strange and they're weird. Doesn't seem very Presbyterian. But I've decided, because I every year preach that sermon, that, well, we Presbyterians are the frozen chosen and we don't give the Spirit enough credence. I'm done preaching that sermon. I've decided. Y'all have heard me say it, and it's an old saw at this point. But it is time for us to acknowledge we live in a world that is starving, thirsting for the Spirit. We live in a world that is dying around us and yearns to hear God's voice saying, I am opening your graves. We live in a world that it feels like the church has bound itself up and has forgotten the lessons of Pentecost. To go and prophesy and speak to the Spirit, to not be afraid of what the world thinks. We've tamed Pentecost. We've tamed it. And all it wants to be is unleashed. The Spirit wants to be free, and it wants us to be willing to move and to act. It wants us to listen and be willing to get a little strange, a little weird, a little indecent and unorderly. And so, on this Pentecost Sunday, I think that is something we need to do. We need to just loosen those things that bind us. That didn't go like I thought. Loosen those things that bind us. And get rid of those trappings that keep us centered on what we think is right and orderly. We need to be ready to just set aside all that stuff that
makes us think this is what business should look like. All of that formality that we keep around us. And we need to be willing to come down out of those places that make us comfortable and do things that the Spirit leads us to do, not worried about what the session might say or worried about what the congregation might say. And not be worried about whether or not we are doing those things which should seem to go off without a hitch, but instead see that we are ready to listen to the Spirit and watch it flow and move around us and be willing to be seen as strange and weird and different and have to proclaim to the world, not that we are going to be the church as usual or the church as you have come to know it, but instead we are willing to have to stand up on Sunday mornings and say, we're not drunk. The Spirit's here. It's over us. We have felt the breath of God and we are done saying. Done saying we're going to do things as they've always been done. Because that is not what we are called to do. We, O mortals, are called to prophesy. And to dream dreams, and to have visions, and to say to the world that business as usual is over, because God's here, and the Spirit is loose, and nothing will ever be the same, and we refuse to let it be that way. Amen.